Madison Rafter and our friends at the Southland County Humane Society. You can find out more about Bella and all the good things that they got going on over there at SWCHS.com, SWCHS.com. I encourage you to like their Facebook page as well. And a big thank you to Terry for being with us today. All the great stuff that Terry has shared with us from Your United Way, you can find out more at UWSWAC.org. Have a great weekend, Terry.
You too.
We'll talk to you guys tomorrow with more morning show here at
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Eggland's Best.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. There could be more legal troubles ahead for former President Trump. CBS's Jared Hill has this story.
Sources tell CBS News special counsel investigators have an audio tape from a 2021 meeting where former President Donald Trump acknowledges he held on to a classified Pentagon document after he left the White House. This was first reported by CNN. On the tape, sources tell us, Trump acknowledges there are national security restrictions on the memo, which detailed potential plans to attack Iran.
The House passed the debt ceiling bill last night. CBS's Scott McFarland takes a look at what's in it.
The agreement raises the debt ceiling until January 2025. It caps some federal spending. It claws back money from the IRS. It tightens eligibility for food stamp programs and loosens some environmental rules.
This bill is at least a step in the right direction.
The bill passed even with a revolt from hardline conservatives who said it didn't cut enough spending.
My beef is that you cut a deal that shouldn't have been cut.
And some progressive Democrats argued it cuts money from the most needy.
The next step for the debt ceiling bill is the Senate. Ahead of a NATO summit in Lithuania, foreign ministers today in Norway discuss what is ahead for Ukraine, among other issues. CBS's Cammy McCormick reports.
While NATO membership for Ukraine will be discussed, NATO also wants to prepare the country militarily for the future. Secretary of State Antony Blinken.
We're also focused on helping Ukraine build up its medium to long-term deterrent and defense capacity so that if and when the current aggression settles, Ukraine has the full capacity to deter and, if necessary, defend against future aggression.
In the meantime, while some are calling for concrete steps to bring Ukraine closer to membership, the U.S. and Germany are among those wary of any move that might take the alliance closer to war with Russia. A storm system is forming, and Jim Cantor at the Weather Channel is monitoring.
June 1st, this first day of hurricane season, we are watching here in the northeastern Gulf of Mexico. The Hurricane Center has named it Invest 91L. It is forecast to move toward the south-southeast this weekend. And what is going to be its Achilles heel? Strong wind shear.
Former President Trump is on the campaign trail in Iowa, facing a new challenge from his top GOP rival, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. He met with voters yesterday in Iowa as more Republicans are getting into the race.
The former president wakes up here in rainy Iowa this morning ahead of meetings with conservative activists and ministers who can help rally the state's socially conservative Republican voting bloc into his corner.
That's CBS's Ed O'Keefe, and this is CBS News.
Today, better nutrition and great taste are more important than ever. That's why Eggland's Best gives you and your family more. And that's healthy news for everyone. Only Eggland's Best.
I'm Tamron Hall. Eggs are a staple in our diets, and there's only one egg with more delicious farm-fresh taste plus superior nutrition. Eggland's Best, with more vitamins, including 6 times more vitamin D and 10 times more vitamin E, plus 25% less saturated fat than ordinary eggs. Available in so many delicious varieties, classic, cage-free, and organic. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition, better eggs.
Did you know you can get someone to shop for you? Stitch Fix really gets me in what I need. Even better, they save me a trip to the mall. It's easy. I share my style, size, and budget, and they do the shopping for me. Stitch Fix sends me things that fit and make me feel like a more stylish version of myself. I keep what works and send back the rest. No subscription required, no commitment, just my style. Stitch Fix. Get started today at stitchfix.com/radio.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast this afternoon with a chance for scattered storms. Highs level off around 90. South winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered storms again tonight. Lows dip down to about 63. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow. Chance for scattered storms. Daytime highs approaching 89. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 77.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this June 1st, 2023. It is 10:05 on the clock. You have your host, James J. Mayloff, here. At 10:30, we're looking forward to talking with Laura Huber, 4-H educator with UW-Madison Extension Wood County. Always have a good conversation with Laura. And we always have a good conversation with Mr. Rick Anderson, Associate Dean, Protective and Human Services over at Mid-State Technical College. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
How have you been?
Not too bad.
Good.
Allergies are a little over the top, but yeah. Otherwise...
I hear you on that. I never dealt with allergies until I got older. And now, I'm with you. They're one of those things. It's the only thing I really don't look forward to this time of year.
Right, right.
Well, we're going to talk a little bit about protective service programs and highlighting, safety month a little bit, touching on some of this.
Yes.
So, Rick, I think a good place to start is, what programs do you offer at Mid-State Technical College that support public safety in our communities?
Well, we have a wide variety of programs. I'll start kind of in the emergency medical services area. We have everything from emergency medical responder, which, if somebody's really interested in becoming a responder in their community as a volunteer, it's a great place to start. Mm-hmm. A 70-hour course.
Not too bad.
Yeah, it's not a huge investment. It's an investment, certainly, but a good way to kind of get in and see if it's something for them. We offer then EMT, which is 180 hours. Mm. But that allows you then to work on an ambulance potentially.
Yeah.
And then we have advanced emergency medical technician, which is another 180 hours. We have paramedic, which is a very popular program for us.
Mm-hmm.
That's significant. You're talking a couple semesters, just short of 1200 hours, to go through that program. In the fire side, we have a couple different tracks. So we have a program, a fire program, a new one, actually, fire services certification.
I've heard about this, yeah.
And it's really kind of pared down from what we used to offer to allow people to get through quicker.
Right. We've heard some stories about this in the national news even.
Yes. Fire departments are having a hard time recruiting. And so we're trying to do what we can to get them in the door, get them what they need quicker.
Yeah. When it comes to that, Rick, I think most of us read the stories about that, especially here in Wisconsin, and the need for this. And I'm a huge supporter and lover of firefighters. I imagine that 99% of the audience is,
sure.
And you out there are. But when it comes to that, and I think a lot of us that read that article, there was a fear or a concern maybe that are we lowering our standards and that kind of thing. That's not necessarily the case. It's just kind of tightening things up. Is that correct?
Correct. So in the past, when they didn't have as hard a time finding people, we could have people come in and take an associate degree and learn a lot more of the theory and some of the things that they'll learn on the job.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that right now we're focusing on the certifications that are necessary to do the job, to function as an entry-level firefighter, and then allow their career to progress more on the job. Than through education.
I think that seems like not only a smart way to do this, but it certainly is a helpful way to communities that get firefighters in those buildings faster.
Correct. Yeah, there's no doubt that that getting them in quickly is very important.
It's a big concern
now. And we have options for them to come back. They can always come back and finish a degree with us. We have a lot of online options with our emergency services management program.
Yeah.
So it's not like, we're cutting everything short. Yeah. We're just cutting the time to get it in the door of your employment order. And then we can finish more of the stuff on the backside.
Which is very on par for Mid-State, because one of the things that we love to highlight about Mid-State is one of those places where you go from, you know, pushing that tassel over graduating to punching in to your job.
Correct.
You can go right off of the graduation stage right into the workforce, and oftentimes even before you graduate, you're in the workforce.
Yes, and also, you know, just having pathways. I mean, being able to come in, find something that you want to do short term. You get off, you start your career, you can turn around, you can come back in, you can upskill. So yes, it definitely is. It's a nimble process and a good way to get into a career.
I see criminal justice is also on this list.
Yes. So we do offer criminal justice studies, which is an associate degree program that prepares folks to work in the criminal justice field. In Wisconsin, there's a credit requirement to get into a law enforcement academy, which we do offer the academy at Mid-State as well. So that program kind of offers the ability to get those credits necessary to get into the academy. Then when they do the academy, that's an 18-week, 720-hour endeavor. It's pretty intense, and they learn what they need to go out and function as a police officer. We also offer corrections and community advocacy, which is also a criminal justice program, and that kind of centers more on the correctional officer side of things, jail academy, those types of things that a person would need to work on that side of the house. Mm-hmm. And
certainly in important fields in general, but especially in around here in central Wisconsin, we have a new jail going up, a lot of these things, and that is going to be very helpful with that. That is interesting.
No doubt.
So what has fire programming, and we touched on this actually a little bit, but how has fire programming been evolving over the past few years, and what has been responsible for the necessity for this change?
Well, so I think kind of as we talked about a little bit, it's just the landscape of public service employment, I think, has just kind of changed a little bit over the last few years. And so we've had to kind of change with it. And so that was the idea behind the fire programming change, was just to shorten that timeline, really come up with different options for somebody to get what they want, and to get it when they need it.
Yeah.
And so that was really the impetus behind this. You know, we have seen a number of people who, you know, over time they've kind of figured out that the requirements to get into a job as a firefighter, you know, were less than what the program was offering. And so, you know, we had to start to
had to even too. Kind of even things out.
Yes.
We've seen this with other fields. I think it's just it hasn't had the attention that this one has. And understandable. We're talking about public service and everything, so it's going to bring the public's attention. And that's good. I encourage the public to be attentive on these things and to do their homework. Yes. And once you do that homework, I think you'd find a lot of what Rick is saying here, that the things have been tightened up. And it is very similar to most fields, really. Radio, TV announcers, you learn a ton off camera. But really, the only way you can learn to do the job is in real time and being live on the air or live on TV and doing it. It's probably part of why you see in local television a lot of early reporters struggling, because this is the first time they've ever done this.
Sure.
I mean, it's pretty hard. It's, we learn on the job more than we don't, oftentimes. And it's great to be able to give these firefighters all those tools, all that knowledge and everything, so they're that much more confident when they get on the job. I don't want to sound like I'm comparing being a sideline reporter or something to a firefighter, but there are similarities, and I can see I can see how the evolution of this program gets to that point.
Yes. Yeah, and it, you know, the biggest thing for us too is it's really by focusing on the certifications, it's making sure that the students, when they leave, are going to walk into the fire department, they'll be able to do the job, but they're going to be able to do it safely.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of this too, because, you know, just like that reporter who may be struggling, so may the firefighter, but at least they're going to know the basic safety components that they have to pay attention to, and then they can grow as their career evolves.
And so much of the job too is learning not only as you go along and as things happen, but learning from other people that you're working with, your coworkers, people that have been there doing it for 5-10 years and that kind of thing too.
Yes, it's always a great learning environment.
Is the firefighter shortage just being experienced in the career departments, or is this ongoing with an ongoing issue with non-career departments as well?
Well, it's definitely an issue across the board, and I, you know, for for quite a number of years now. The shortage of firefighters on the volunteer or the paid on call type departments that we largely have here in central Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. I mean, the vast majority of them, let's face it, that's where they lie, have been having a hard time with recruitment and retention. That's been in the national news as well.
Yeah.
Fire departments, EMS departments, they're all kind of in that same boat. So yes, it's something that has been going on. I think we've just kind of, I think society, you know, values have changed a little bit. Volunteerism yeah. seems a little bit different. There's just more things to do, I think, today. I think back to when I was a kid and I didn't have all the sports opportunities and yeah. things that, you yeah. know, that take up a lot of parents' time. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's a significant commitment to do all the hours that are necessary every month, you know, not just to get your initial education, but to keep it ongoing and
yeah.
to stay licensed or whatever the case may be, depending on your field. So, yeah, it's definitely a problem across the board.
We still lean on the public caring about their community and wanting to put back into their community some genuine, you know, just human nature of that. And when you count on something that is quantifiable, it's going to be a gray area. You're going to worry about that kind of thing. I've done a lot of homework on this, and not just with firefighting, but just in EMS and other, you know, like areas that you touched on there. And yeah. one thing that I will say, because I completely agree with you, there is some concern there. And that's obvious. But what I found some hope in is this youngest generation
yes.
that seems to get it, that seems to... I think that my generation, not to pick on my generation, but I think for some of my generation, part of the issue was, oh, I don't have to do that. Somebody else is. And you know, enough people think that, well, nobody's doing the job eventually, you know, and that went on for too long. And I think that you're seeing a lot of my generation in their older age realize this in their 30s and 40s and like, oh, I better help out here. This, nobody's doing this or something. This younger generation isn't waiting for anybody. Like, we got things need to get done now. We're going to get in on this at our 20s. We're not waiting till our 30s or 40s. And we're seeing a lot more younger people getting into these fields. Certainly not the numbers we need. We need bigger numbers, more numbers than that. But it is a little bit of hope, a little bit of encouragement.
Yes. I was just reading a study the other day that was talking about, you know, looking at some of the generations, and the generation that seems to be like in that middle school range right now,
mm-hmm.
it's a large generation.
Yeah.
And they seem to be showing signs that, you know, volunteerism and community
yes.
support seems to be kind of their thing. So, yes, I have a lot of hope in that as well. And we really started to try to start our marketing efforts at the middle school level because, mm-hmm. you know, often by the time we get to the high school,
kind of have our
made
minds.
Up our, yeah, yes, yeah. They've already made up their mind, and, you know, to try to get them to switch is a little difficult, but, you know, to... you know, kind of get them hooked a little bit earlier.
Yeah, it never hurts.
It's important.
We're speaking with Rick Anderson, Associate Dean over at Mid-State Technical College. And Rick, does Mid-State offer fire training to people who become members of volunteering or paid on call fire departments?
Yes, we do. So that's kind of a separate area of my responsibility. Mm-hmm. So outside of our program, we offer courses that are... They're called 2% dues funded classes. Mm-hmm. So they're classes that are paid for by funds that Wisconsin insurance companies actually put into a pool of money. And those courses then, the tuition is covered. So things like Firefighter 1, Firefighter 2, Fire Officer, Driver Operator, just the basic courses that somebody needs to get the certifications necessary
yeah.
to comply with Wisconsin Administrative Code. Statute and to be able to come in and serve as a volunteer in their community without costing the department's money for tuition. And
yeah,
you know, it's...
once again, Mid-State makes it very difficult for you not to do these things, not to take these programs, not to continue your
right.
education. I love it. That's really cool. That again, it's not just tinkering the program and tightening it up to make, you know, be able to have people graduate faster. You're going the extra step to help people not only graduate, but to find work, to put people into these buildings right away so we have enough firefighters in our communities.
Yes. Hmm. While a lot of our focus is certainly on students and their success, and that's very, very important to us, obviously, but so is serving our community.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's one of the sole reasons why we exist. It's, mm-hmm. Supporting the community is a big part of our job.
I'd like to shift things a little bit and talk some EMS with you. Mm-hmm. How is the EMS education that you offer all tied together? Aren't there like several different levels of training to choose from here when it comes to this?
Yes, there are. So, like I talked earlier a little bit, the emergency medical responder is kind of that entry-level thing. Mm-hmm. But then once we start getting into those ambulance levels, emergency medical technician, I always kind of call that the like the linchpin of EMS, because you have to take EMT before you can take AEMT or paramedic. Mm-hmm. So everybody has to kind of come through that. It's like a rite of passage almost. And so that's kind of the big one that everything's tied back to. AEMT is a great place for somebody to go if they're, you know, wanting to advance from EMT. Mm-hmm. But it's not required to go to that level. You can go right from EMT to paramedic and take that as well.
I didn't know that.
So that is a route that is available. Our paramedic is offered in two different ways. So we have a technical diploma, which is 38 credits of the core paramedic curriculum that allows you to sit for your licensure at the end. We also have the associate degree program, which is the same 38 credits, but then we have the two extra semesters of general education. So when they come into the Corps, it's mixed. We don't know who's associate degree, who's technical diploma. They're all just coming out the other end as a paramedic, and that's really what they're working towards. We also do offer, just as a side note, we offer critical care paramedic as well.
I was curious about this.
So critical care is a 108-hour, it's an endorsement in Wisconsin. So once you're licensed as a paramedic, you can get an endorsement to do critical care transport. So that's really when a hospital will call, they want an ambulance to take somebody who's critically ill or injured and take them to a higher level of care. So there are special devices that we sometimes use, or medications that somebody's taking or that they're on, that we have to have extra training in. And so that's really what this course is about, to make sure that that can be done safely and effectively.
There's so much, I think, involved in these jobs that you know, our average person in public may not know. And then there's so many other jobs involved in this, like something like that, that I don't think is common terminology to people. So that's not only good for us to know about these things empathetically and just understanding what our public service workers do and what's on their shoulders, but if anybody is interested in doing these kind of works or being in that field, maybe you being an EMT is too much for you, but critical care, like, that's something you could do. You find your avenue, sort of.
Sure. Yes, absolutely. There's a lot of options out there, and you know, we have some, I'm very proud to say that we have some very, very highly well-trained ambulance services throughout our district here in Mid-State, and you know, I'm proud of each and every one of them, and they all offer great services, and you know, our communities are well protected when it comes to EMS. That's
absolutely. We're so thankful to all of them out there, and thankful that we got a school in town here, and many ones where you listening out there, you might have you certainly have a Mid-State near you that takes this that seriously, that can balance that caring of the community while also making sure that these students don't graduate without everything, that all the knowledge that they need. And working to do that while also getting them into the fields that fastly. So just switching gears one more time with you here, Rick, because you're a pro. Yeah, I know you're good at this. I wanted to talk a little bit about police officers and law enforcement, and let's talk about that. How Mid-State supports the training of police officers and correction officers. Again, something that we touched on a little bit, but maybe some more detail.
Yeah, so the I'll focus mostly on the academies here. So I think when we start to talk about the law enforcement academy, again, 720 hours, but you know, they're getting everything from, you know, ethics and constitutional law to firearms and defense and arrest tactics, emergency vehicle driving, you know, so it's a wide variety of things that a police officer will do on a daily basis that that they will get in this academy. It's very structured. The Department of Justice gives us the curriculum. We don't really have the ability to waver from that at all. And that is that's what we teach. So it's a great program. We have a lot of very experienced, well-trained part-time faculty that work in the academy for us. So they come in, we really have people that have specialty areas, and they come in and teach their specialty. And so that's been really good for us. On the jail academy side of things, it's the same thing. It's not nearly as long. It's 200 hours. But still, I mean, 200 hours is a significant, commitment. And in that one, it's kind of the same thing. It's really coming in and doing those operations that are going to occur in the jail. You know, learning how to do the booking process, how to bring somebody into a jail setting, how to enter a cell if we have somebody who's not compliant with, you know, the orders they're given, or, you know, whatever the case may be. And so, again, Department of Justice curriculum, very, very specific as to what we need to teach. And it gets, you know, in both cases, they have then the ability to go and work in those jobs once they complete those academies.
So. It's some of the harder, more vital work that we have in communities, and being able to train people, give them a safe place to be able to learn this stuff before they have to bring it into the real world. It goes so far. It builds that confidence, but it also makes them feel that much more safe. And really, hopefully, our community, the people that are, you know, doing time in jail and those things, they deserve to feel safe too. And everybody, I mean, the whole reason we built this jail, we're building this jail right now, is safety.
Right.
So
it
we would be defeating the purpose if the people inside it weren't acting safe. It all adds up here.
That is true.
And it really all is a team effort. Obviously, the jail itself is a team, is a city thing where the city voted on, they put it through, we're helping pay for it, all of that. But putting the people in there, the workers in there, that's where Mid-State comes in. That's where we have though that we can look at that puts into the community. It's a wonderful combination of things that brings us all together.
Yes, and we really do have I think a very good working relationship with our law enforcement agencies, our sheriff's departments, when it comes to, you know, staffing jails, working with, whether it's with Sheriff Becker here in Wood County or Sheriff Lucas or Sheriff York down in Adams County,
mm-hmm.
You know, they all, you know, come to us for what they need, and we all work very well together, I think.
Mm. Rick, this may be the tougher question I ask you out of all of these today. Is this a good time to be considering a career in public safety in Central Wisconsin?
I think there's not probably been a better time than I can think of. You know, and I just give a quick anecdotal story. When I turned 18, I wanted to be a firefighter. I went to Stevens Point, and there was a line of people around the corner on the sidewalk waiting to pick up an application for one open spot.
Wow.
I just kept on driving. I never stopped because there were so many people. And that's how it traditionally was for many, many years. Whether you're talking law enforcement or fire, you'd have, you know, sometimes hundreds of applicants for a position. And now we have openings in our local departments, and we have maybe double digit applicants if we're lucky, you know, in some cases. And so I think it's a great time to get into it. I think it's always been a great time or a great career to work in, whether you're talking law enforcement or fire, EMS, because you know, if you like a family atmosphere, if you like to, you know, the camaraderie with your coworkers, you know, and it's a family sustaining wage when, you know, no matter what area you really choose to go into, great retirement system. There's just so many benefits to working in public service, and not to mention what you do for your community and just the feeling that you have in your heart, I think, when you do work like this.
I think most people, especially if you're young and you're looking at school and you don't have a set path yet and you're looking, I want a career, not a job. We heard that a lot during the coming out of the pandemic. I'm looking for a job security. I'm like, well, a lot of these things line up with public safety.
Yes,
so
we
got your attention right there. Rick has told us about how long some of these classes take, the affordability of them, scholarship offers. So that becomes something else that I think adds to this. But what you finished on, Rick, I think is maybe the most meaningful part of this. There's going to be a good paycheck with these jobs, job security, all those things. And then there's the stuff that you can't quantify, that you can't put a number to, and that feeling that you get putting back into your community. The biggest thing that stood out to me as far as careers and work and everything coming out of the pandemic was the amount of people that it wasn't so much I want a career, not a job. I want to do something that makes an impact. I want to do something that puts into my community or makes or changes the world a little bit or helps a little. And very few of us can, you know, cure polio, but every one of us can help out our community.
Yeah.
Every one of us can do something in our community, and maybe this is that thing for you, working in public safety.
Yep, absolutely. Offering assistance to somebody, you know, who's having potentially their worst day.
Yeah.
It's probably not our worst day, but it's their worst day. And you know, just being able to know that we can make an impact, we can help people, you know, that goes a long ways.
There's no bonus for that. There's no price you can put on that.
Yeah, and I know not everybody looks at that as being something, but there's a subset of people out there who that is what they're looking for. And if that's what you're looking for, these are the types of careers to get into because you help all the time.
Very well said. And I think one thing that we were talking about, that younger generation, they certainly seem to get that. They certainly seem to. Rick, appreciate all the time. What's next? What can we tell people if they want to get in touch with you or they want to find out more, maybe even enroll in some of these?
Yeah, I think the quickest and easiest thing to do is just to go to our website at mstc.edu and check out our programs. Everything is listed on there. Folks can certainly, if you have interest in public safety programs, you certainly can get a hold of me. My email address is really easy. It's Rick, R-I-C-K dot Anderson with an O-N.
Oh, that's a great one, Rick.
At mstc.edu. It's not real hard, but
no.
Rick.Anderson at mstc.edu, and I'd be happy to answer any questions about our public safety programs and help get you on a career path.
Excellent. I really appreciate the time, Rick. Thanks a lot. Say hi to everybody over there for us at Mid-State.
All right, will do. Thank you.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with more Morning Magazine here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
You've decided to expand your family with a furry friend, so what's next? Do you have enough space? What are the right foods? Get the answers to these questions and more at WFHR's Petpalooza on the Southwood County Humane Society grounds, June 11th from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Local pet experts will be on hand to answer all your questions, and the Humane Society will be open to discuss the adoption process. All this plus live music, food trucks, and food and direct sales vendors. It's a real petcation, June 11th from 10 to 4 for WFHR's Petpalooza.
Live on stage, a tribute from Steve Bobbitt, Logan Ramey, and Christopher Lonsdorf. The rock and roll sounds of Rod Stewart, Elvis, and Buddy Holly. Also country artists Jeff Landon and Jeff Cannon. And don't miss the Blues Brothers. Bring a lawn chair for all the shows. Free admission and enjoy over 70 booth vendors, kids games, the Zor Clowns, and concessions. It's all happening during the Holiday Spirit Zor Funster Benefit Event. Saturday, October 14th and 15th, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. 100 baskets to raffle with 100 winners and 100% of the raffle going to the Shriners Children's Hospitals. A car cruise in each day, weather permitting. Special treats, Captain America, Batman, and the kit car from Knight Rider. Saturday is costume day. Dress up for some spooktacular fun. An event for the whole family Saturday, October 14th and 15th at Arnott Lions Park, corner of Highway J and 4th Street in Arnott. Sponsored in part by Renee's Red Rooster, Chatterbox, Sparhawk Trucking, and Civic Media.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast this afternoon with a chance for scattered storms. Highs level off around 90. South winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance for scattered storms again tonight. Lows dip down to about 63. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow. Chance for scattered storms. Daytime high is approaching 89. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 77.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine, part two for this June 1st, 2023. 10:32 on the clock. You have your host, James, here, and I am joined by one of my favorite people to talk to, Miss Laura Huber, 4-H educator with UW Extension. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning, James. Did you really say it's June 1st?
Yeah.
How can that be?
I know. I don't know what happened to May. Did anybody see May? Because I don't know what happened to it. I didn't even notice it was gone. Thanks for being here today, Laura. We always love talking 4-H. Love talking with you. Got a kind of a special show today because you guys have a new partnership that we wanted to kick things off talking about. And I just was able to do a little homework on this. And I just a little bit I've heard is exciting.
Mm-hmm. So have you had a conversation on the show before about AmeriCorps?
Not too much. No.
Okay.
I thought that'd be a great place to start.
Yeah. So I'm super excited. Wood County 4-H is going to be able to partner with AmeriCorps to really expand the services that we have to offer young people in Wood County. Mm-hmm. And really, you know, I'm just going to admit that 4-H can't reach everybody. I think we have incredible goals. I think we have an incredible vision and an incredible mission, but the need is too great for just one organization to tackle on their own.
Yeah.
And so partnerships really allow organizations to really extend their reach, you know, to do more, to reach more people, and to do more good in communities. And that's what AmeriCorps is all about. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people have heard about the Peace Corps, and they understand about, like, Americans volunteering in countries around the world. Mm-hmm. But not everybody realizes that we have a program right here in the United States called AmeriCorps. And the mission is very much like Peace Corps. Mm-hmm. It's to go out and do good in the communities, to kind of help communities strengthen systems within so that they can function better, that they can... do things to just improve the lives of people in communities and strengthen the communities overall.
I think it's great bringing up the Peace Corps because, I think most people understand that work on the surface. Mm-hmm. And that's all we're looking for is the understanding this on the surface because it entails so many different things.
Absolutely. And the Peace Corps has been around since the Kennedy administration.
Yeah, that's right.
And AmeriCorps has kind of gone through some transitions and stuff, but kind of took its current form sometime in the 1990s.
Okay.
So, I don't know. If you haven't worked with them before, you might not even realize that it's here.
Yeah.
So, and the reason I wanted to bring it up is because, yes, we know that we're going to have AmeriCorps working with Wood County 4-H. Mm-hmm. And right now is the time for me to start recruiting, to find a candidate that can fill that position. So I thought, what better place to start than right here in the community that the AmeriCorps member would be serving in? So
I have no doubt that member you're looking for is out there, is out there in this community right here. I'm positive. I bet on it. When it comes to that person, that candidate, I don't want to say what you're looking for, but what the 4-H AmeriCorps is looking for.
Right. It's a great question. What we're looking for is somebody who really is interested in going out into the community and helping teach, especially working with kids somewhere in that kindergarten through high school range. That's the 4-H target area. But what we'll be doing is partnering with local schools, and maybe it'll be Boys and Girls Club or some other youth serving organizations throughout Wood County. But I want to really focus on this southern part of Wood County for this year. And what they'll be doing is going and leading hands-on education programs like 4-H is known for, but really working with the partners that they're working with, saying, okay, let's say it's a school. Maybe that school needs help with an after-school program. Mm-hmm. So the AmeriCorps member would be going in and helping do education programs in that after-school program. And what do they want it on? Do they want it on STEM, on science programs? Mm-hmm. Great, that's what they would do. If they need extra help on maybe it's food and nutrition, that's what the person would do. So it's not something that I'm going to be able to say right now. This is exactly what that person needs to know about, because one of the biggest things is building relationships and making sure that we meet the needs of the community. And who better to know that than the partner organization we're working with?
Yeah.
So I think people skills is really a key piece and an interest, especially in youth. Mm-hmm. And helping to teach youth.
See, I think that number's thinned a little bit, but boy, they got stronger because a lot of people are listening to that right now. And I know that you out there are like, well, wait a minute, that I'm already doing a lot of those things, or we have people in our community doing similar things already. So we're already starting to find some candidates. We're already starting to get some people here. Go ahead.
Sorry. I was going
to
say, you bet. And the people who typically serve with AmeriCorps, there's no one typical person, right?
Yeah.
For some people, it's they've already hit retirement and they still want to get out and serve their community.
Yeah.
So joining AmeriCorps is a great option for them. For others, maybe they're right out of high school and they want to start building some job skills. Great candidates. Mm-hmm. We can do that. And maybe they're recent college grads and they're trying to get some experience before going on to grad school or to make them more employable. That's something that AmeriCorps does. They're working not only for their community, but they're working and gaining skills themselves.
Oh, yeah. It's it's one of those things, and it's similar to what we were talking about with Rick at Midstate, where there this is one of those fields you get into, and you know, there's plenty of incentives and everything, but there's the incentive that we just really couldn't word or put a price tag on or anything, that the feel good of doing good in your community, mm-hmm. the feel good of putting back in, of contributing, of those things. Again, I know we've got people out there that do this stuff all the time, so it's interesting to have a position available for that kind of thing. And especially if you want to specifically work with the 4-H, you want to be able to impact this particular area. When does the position start? Is there any other details we should give people about it?
Sure. So we're accepting applications right now, and we don't have an application per se. It's a resume and cover letter just submitted to me. And we'll be taking those through about July 10th.
Okay.
And then we'll go through interviews. Mm-hmm. And then we need to have that candidate identified by August 7th. Okay. Because yes, they identify, or we identify and we work with them, but they then actually enroll in that federal AmeriCorps program.
Yeah.
And then it would be boots on the ground starting in September. This position is what's called a three-quarter time position. Mm-hmm. So it runs from September through August of 2024.
Okay.
And over that time, they'll serve for 1,200 hours.
Okay.
And it's not pure volunteer. There is a living allowance given, and that's $15,000 over the course of that September to August period.
Mm-hmm.
That only works out to about $12.50 an hour. It's not a lot, right?
Yeah.
So, but one of the real benefits of AmeriCorps is after you complete your service, after you complete that 1,200 hours of service, you get an educational award.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't give exact numbers on what that educational award will be because it changes every year. It's near $5,000.
Yeah.
That can be used to pay for school that's coming up. It can be used to pay off student loans. And, you know, I said it could be a great position for somebody in retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Parents or grandparents can give that educational award to their children or grandchildren.
Oh, cool.
It has to be like direct relation.
Mm.
But that's kind of a cool benefit, too. So
those are all great incentives. And when we're talking about, like, especially the type of people that we're speaking to here that might be good candidates, oftentimes those people are doing things for free.
Mm-hmm.
Any amount, any siphon is a good siphon when it comes down to it. And I think also for so many of us, I got a tattoo done yesterday, and I was talking to Dawn about this. There was a Brooke and a girl that works over at the ODC. All three of us are in fields that are not exactly, they don't build Rockefeller. You know, they don't.
Sure.
Not a lot of people getting becoming millionaires, being a tattoo artist or working in radio or working at the OD. But we make a decent paycheck. We make a good paycheck. We're keeping the lights on. And most importantly, we can't put a price on doing something we love to do or doing something that we feel contributes to our community.
Right.
All of us kept coming back to that. Like, yeah, it'd be nice to make more, but it's not worth giving up. I could have left radio. I could leave radio right now and go to something that pays more. I'm not interested in that. I love what I do. I love working for this community. My boss is the community. You out there, that's my boss.
Mm-hmm.
I got a good gig. I'm okay with that. I think with a position like this, you're going to find a lot of candidates in that similar area.
Yeah, it's really about making a life and making a life that's meaningful to you.
Yeah.
Right? And I tell you what, the days that I go to work and all I'm doing is the computer work and the administration, I walk home exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just drained. But the days where I really, like, I get to engage with the young people and work with them hand in hand. And I mean, I walk away just energized.
Yeah.
Like, wow. You know, I feel like when I'm working with those young people, that's the stuff that fills my cup. That's the thing that makes mm-hmm. me go, oh, yes, this is why I do it. And this AmeriCorps position is all about that. It's all about getting to do that direct work with young people, watching their eyes light up when they make a connection or when something just finally clicks or when they learn something new that really sparks their soul. So it's something that I don't know. If I could trade my position for this one, I just might, so I could get rid of that administration.
I'm hearing a little bit about that. And I don't blame you. It's something that even pulls at me, and I didn't come into this thinking about that. Even though I've done a little homework on AmeriCorps and learned a little bit about them that I didn't even know over the week. When I encourage other people to do, too, is if you're interested in about this, do learn a little bit about AmeriCorps. You can go to AmeriCorps.gov and find out more. It's a great website. They've got everything broken down for you. And also, because I had a buddy do this, they answer the phone. Like, there's actual real people there and everything. So that's pretty cool. So if you want to reach out and actually talk to them and ask some questions, that's not a bad idea either.
Yeah. And I would always be so happy to answer questions about that, you know, what the work would be here locally. Mm-hmm. And the really cool thing is this position isn't going to be standing alone. Wisconsin 4-H has a new partnership with AmeriCorps. Mm-hmm. And so the person starting here in Wood County is going to be starting with a cohort of others across Wisconsin, and they'll train together, and then they'll be able to like build that community of understanding and relationships. So sharing ideas, sharing information. Hey, this worked really well. Hey, you should try this. Oh my gosh, don't even go here because it was terrible, you know, and there's a lot of value in that. So the relationships, I mean, it's just an incredible network. So a great place for somebody starting off in the career field if they really want to start making connections. It's a great opportunity there. But like I said, there's not just one perfect demographic for a position like this. Mm-hmm. It can really fulfill the needs of so many that are just looking to be able to get out and help the community.
And we know you're out there, and we encourage you to reach out to Laura and our friends at the 4-H about this. We'll give you her contact information before we wrap up. For now, I'm going to take a quick break and come back with more Morning Magazine on WFHR.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
Saturdays at 1, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Saturdays at 1 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. By the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article in the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music, and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Chance for scattered storms this afternoon, otherwise more clouds than sun. Daytime highs approaching 90, winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Mainly cloudy skies expected. Tonight, chance for scattered storms, lows level off around 63. Chance for scattered storms again, tomorrow 89, partly cloudy. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 83.
Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Appreciate the weather updates from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to Morning Magazine. We're speaking with our good friend Laura Huber, 4-H educator with UW-Madison Extension. Laura, we've been talking a little bit about the partnership of AmeriCorps joining the 4-H and helping us here in our communities and that. There's other partnerships and other organizations that the 4-H has been working with.
Right, over and over. I think it's so important to realize that when we work together, we can get so much more done. We can do so much more together. And like I said earlier, the need is so great. And so banding together wherever we can is just incredible. And one of the things that I wanted to highlight was we have summer camp coming up in just a couple of weeks. And if you've been to the grocery store lately or done anything else, you know that costs have really gone up. And so as we were planning camp and we started totaling like what the cost was going to be per camper, it was well over $300 per camper. And it's not something that families are able to easily afford. So I reached out to Encourage and applied for a bridge grant, and they've come through with a fantastic grant to help us pay for the bus. With their help, we've been able to bring the and with other partners too, I should say, we've been able to bring the cost of camp down to $150 per camper. And then here's something that I didn't know. You know, I didn't know how Encourage always works. You know, I understand the grant application piece. But then a couple of weeks after finding out that we got the grant to pay for the bus for the kids, I got this incredible letter in the mail. And the Earl and Vivian Hafe's donor advised fund through Encourage sent a check for camperships. For those families that still struggle to meet that $150 threshold, they just sent a check. And basically it says, you know what? We want kids to experience camp. Here, take this. Help some kids go to camp.
That got me.
I don't always have those days where I open the mail and my jaw drops open. And I just, you know, it was amazing.
That's beautiful. That's really cool. Shout out to them.
Absolutely. Really cool. And how do we do that without people seeing the value of the programs that people are putting on and recognizing the good work that's happening in the community? What was it? Was it October of, or maybe it was November? I just remember coming here and having a conversation with you, James, on the radio and saying, oh my gosh, the Snyder 4-H Club just burned down. And you asked, like, well, what can we do? And I'm like, right now, What we need most is we need a place for this 4-H club to be able to continue meeting and doing the great things that they do for the kids. And it was hardly any time later, and I had a phone call, right? The VFW post, the Buckley Baldwin, had called and said, hey, you know what? We've got a space right here, and we want to help. We want 4-H to come and meet. And they're still meeting there. We hope that ground is going to be broken here before October for a new Snyder 4-H Club building. But I just talked to Paul from the VFW a few weeks ago, and he's like, you know what? We are here as long as Snyder 4-H Club needs us to be here. And I just like, wow.
Just,
what more do you say?
There's no words. There's no words for it. Again, you can't describe some of these things. And that what we're talking about is a feeling that you can have being a part of this, too, whether it's AmeriCorps or just volunteering in general at the 4-H. The horrible audio interview we're doing right now, where we have no words for these feelings, you can feel that, too. You can be a part of that. We encourage you to be a part of that, because it... it's something I think most people do know what it's like to feel good, to do something good, to do something selfless. But putting it on this level is so different. And especially when you are helping strangers, essentially people that you may not know their first name, may not know them well or anything. And you're doing that, or you're helping kids. We talk about it all the time, and I still don't think we talk about it enough. They're the future. They're everything. Everything it should be about making sure that they are ready to take over, that they are ready to be able to run this thing for us, so that we, you know, maybe we can retire or whatever. But we need this, and that group, that family, I should say, that offered that and put that donation in, so that those kids wouldn't be having that taken from them. I don't even know how many kids that's going to help, but those are kids that are going to experience camp. camp that may have not otherwise.
Yep.
And who knows what that sparks in them. Mm-hmm. Maybe they want to be camp counselors. Maybe they want to work in 4-H. Maybe they want to work in nature. Maybe it just maybe they just have a good experience, and that's okay too.
Yeah.
But whatever that is an investment. That's an investment in our future. I don't think there's anything bigger we could be doing in life than that. Being a part of all of this, you can feel that too. And just a big thank you to those, to that family, to Encourage, to, of course, our great friends at the Buckley Baldwin VFW Post 2534. We love our friends over there.
Well, and one of the pieces is sometimes it looks like what you're doing is something so small.
Yeah.
Right? I'm just supporting it in whatever way. It's not a big deal. Like, okay, so we open the doors. What's the big deal? And yet it is. Because when you do youth development work, purposeful and intentionally, I just think about it. You know, we hear that analogy of snowballs all the time, mm-hmm. right? And so kids like, oh, this is kind of cool. Makes me want to come back next time.
Yep.
And then somebody is really kind to them next time. And that person who is so kind is in some sort of a leadership role. And then those mm-hmm. kids think, you know what? Like, wow, that was so cool. I want to do what they are doing. So they're going to take a step up into leadership. And they're going to spread kindness throughout the club. Or they're going to share skills throughout the club. And it just keeps growing and growing. Then they graduate high school. They go to college. They come back as volunteers. Maybe mm-hmm. they come back as parents. Whatever. But it's not only about those skills and maybe what a career they might end up in, but it's the community service that they come back to do. It's the, you know, if we took a look at our different government levels, you would be shocked to see how many 4-H members actually in government, whether it's at the local, township,
yeah.
all the way up through to Congress at the national level, mm-hmm. because they learn about like meeting function and they learn about decision making and they learn all of those skills. So I have a really hard time wrapping up into a neat little package the impact that people have when they support 4-H, because there's just so many different tangents that it goes off in. It is so meaningful, and you just never know. You know, in the case of allowing a family to afford sending two kids to camp,
mm-hmm.
they see it, they have a blast, they want to come back next time. Mm-hmm. They look up to the camp counselors and they go like, wow, those people are really mm-hmm. cool. So they set goals to become camp counselors. And when they're in camp counselor training, they learn about how much work actually goes into it and how much planning those counselors are doing. You know, it's job skills, it's leadership, it's concrete, like just, we've talked about cake making mm-hmm. and woodworking and all of that. Yes, it's all of those things. And AmeriCorps and the Encourage Foundation and the VFW and all of the partners that we're working with are critically important parts to make all of that big stuff happen.
Yeah, I put the challenge out there to people that, you know, to right now think about this as you're listening, Laura and I. Did you have anybody in your life when you were growing up do something like this for you? Did they step up? Did they show you some kindness or help you with something or whatever? And maybe it was a family friend or a teacher, or maybe it was a stranger. But I guarantee that almost everybody out there, all of you out there listening, have had that experience. Mm-hmm. Here's an opportunity to pay it forward. Here's an opportunity to be able to, do what was done for you to do for somebody else. Mm-hmm. And I can't think of many greater things in life than to be able to pass thing that, like that on, or be able to do something like that, to be a part of these kind of things. And we did have one more group of that we wanted to talk about as far as the Encourage and Buckley and these. I noticed Marshfield School District is on there too.
Yeah, so Marshfield School District and the First Presbyterian Church mm-hmm. up in Marshfield. Mm-hmm. Again, this is just an incredible partnership. Maybe you've looked around, maybe you haven't, but we have a growing Latino population.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hard for young people to succeed in school when their parents feel completely disconnected from.
Yeah.
And so we've been working really hard with the FPC and with Marshfield School District to help families learn how to get engaged in their schools and help parents and students feel like they belong. And that might not, on the surface, look like 4-H work, but it absolutely is, because at 4-H, we're always going by four guiding principles. And number one is belonging and helping parents and students feel like they are welcome and they belong in that school is going to help them to thrive in that school. It's going to help them to achieve graduation. But that's not a program that we can do by ourselves. I could try, or Jasmine could try to go up and go into the school district and or into the area and offer programs. But without the partnership of the administration and the teachers and everything else, it can't happen. And so one of my goals is, and if we're able to, you know, it's all going to depend on that AmeriCorps position and the skills that the person brings to the table. But if we're able to extend that sort of programming down here into the southern part of the county, that would be awesome. One thing I just really want to say, and I'm going to consider all of our listeners today as partners as well. It's really important to help other people see like what you see in them. So as we're talking about this position, people might, I don't have the skills for that. And they don't, you know, we're our own worst judges. So as we're talking about this position, if you think of somebody like, I don't know if that's right for me, but I bet so-and-so would do a great job, I would ask you to invite them to just say, you know what, I think you would be great working with students. Would you think about maybe doing this program with 4-H? I think you'd be a great fit. That is one of the most powerful pieces of recognition because we doubt ourselves. We criticize ourselves, and yet we don't understand just the magic that's within. So one of the most powerful things we can do is help other people see the magic we see in them.
Very well said. Very well done, Laura. Oh, it's a perfect way to wrap up. And it just happens to be, all right, we're at last minute. So that worked out perfect. Nicely done by you. I mean it. That's a great way to wrap up. That's nice. With some of the things we've talked about today, if people are interested in learning more about AmeriCorps or just learning more about the 4-H, how they can have participate in things or get their kids involved, how can they get in touch with you, Laura?
So I'm going to give you my phone number first with a caveat. Okay, so the phone number is 715-421-8439. And the caveat is, it's June. It's summer camp season. It's summer academy season. It's all of the things. So yeah. I will be away from the office a lot in June. If you're most comfortable using the phone, though, please make that call, and somebody in the office will then get a message to me. The other option is email, and even